Get ready to rock.
Welcome to our GRTR at 20 podcast series. For the past 10 years or so, Larkin Poe have been going from strength to strength, and we caught up with the two sisters, Megan and Rebecca, at the start of a UK tour in late March 2011. And we're saying hello, a very warm welcome, not only to Get Ready to Rock, but also to the UK, Larkin Poe, Rebecca and Megan. And that's Rebecca and Megan Lovell, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. So how is it? How was it for you? Because we're actually talking now after the gig, and this was your first gig of the tour in Oswestry, and it went down really well, didn't it?
We had a blast. It was a great starting night. We had an excellent time, and I think the audience maybe enjoyed themselves too. So I think that we had a great night. The more intimate concerts are also very fun.
Yes. And we're also getting to play a festival this tour, so that's going to be really fun. So we'll get to have a good spattering.
And that's really a lot of your background in the States. You've done a lot of festival work, haven't you, really? Can you give us a little bit of a background about the last, say, 5 years? Because you were singing with your elder sister?
Yes.
Is it Jessica?
Yes.
Yeah, the Lovell sisters. You made a couple of albums, I think, did you?
We did.
As that band. So what happened there? What was the story? You broke away as Larkin Poe.
Well, back in December of 2009, we'd been touring as the Lovell sisters for about 6 years. Is that right? About 6 years. And so it was, you know, we'd all spent our teenage and early adult lives playing music, and so I think she'd reached a point where she said, you know what, from the get-go we all said that we were going to do it only if we were 100% passionate and completely invested in doing it. I think she reached a point where she just wanted to try something else. So after she, you know, said that she wanted to move on, then like within a month she was married and doing all kinds of crazy stuff with her life, and so now she and her husband are living in BC, Canada, of all places, and they're doing fantastic. So yeah, we toured as about 6 years with the Lovell sisters, and we had our first start in 2005, playing a radio station called A Prairie Home Companion, and so that was really our first gig, and that's kind of what jump-started us into playing music, I think,
in general. It's on NPR, and it has like 5 million listeners, and so we got a lot of offers to play all these prestigious places, festivals, and
with zero touring experience, like just out of nowhere.
And we had done it as just a hobby before then, and suddenly we realized we were spending most of our time doing this and that we were actually musicians.
But you must have got a lot of experience playing with your sister as the Lovell sisters.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was good, wasn't it? You gained in confidence.
Oh, yes. Especially with her being the eldest sister. At least she, you know, definitely would take care of us, and she would do so much work. And I think when she left the band, it really opened our eyes as to how much there really is involved in being a touring act, and you know, to make it work and to make it be successful. And so I think after she left, we've definitely learned and grown a lot, you know, not only as musicians out of necessity, but also just in general as entertainers and performers.
Because I should tell listeners, really, it's amazing. You're only very young, aren't you? And I mean, we'll come on to the sort of the songwriting side of things, but there's tremendous maturity in this music. Other people will have commented on that. And you're only, is it 19 and 20?
Actually, I just turned 20, and Megan's 21, so we're old.
So, yeah.
We're old.
But when you were with the Lovell sisters, it gave you more confidence. But how did you find the dynamic changing when you became Larkin Poe, the two of you? Because am I right in saying your elder sister, did she have more of a front person role?
Yes.
Yeah. So you were obviously learning from her, like the stagecraft side of things, because I noticed this evening at the gig, I mean, there is a dynamic going on. I mean, it's the same with any band. How did you adapt to that? Because it's quite an undertaking, isn't it, really?
It
to
is.
Come out almost from your sister's shadow, perhaps.
Yes, very much so.
The sort of front person, you know, both of you, really.
I think towards the end of the Lovell sisters, Rebecca was singing about half the material, the lead vocals, and Jessica was singing the other half. And so I think it was kind of a natural transition for Rebecca to kind of move into that lead singer role.
But I'll be honest, there is a lot to learn. I mean, on stage, like when you're having to check the set list and make sure that you're singing the right songs, and I mean, just kind of general purpose that I never would have really anticipated. Just going and watching people perform live, it seems, and when you have a really good front person, it's just effortless, and they're on stage and they are able to speak eloquently and sing in tune, and it takes so much thought. It really does. And I think it's taken a lot of time for me to learn, and I'm still definitely learning. Just concentration, to be able to concentrate. And
because that's not frightening, but it's quite awesome that the thought that you will only get better actually now, won't you? You'll mature as performers. You know,
yes, that is so exciting.
It is exciting, isn't it? That's the word, really. It's you know, it gives you a buzz, and you must think from a songwriting point of view as well. You know, how much better does this get, or can it get?
Oh yeah, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly it. I think that is the biggest attraction, probably, about being a tour musician. I mean, not only do you get to travel and, you know, meet all kind of random, crazy, unique people and see really random, crazy, unique sides of cities, but it's that excitement. It's that knowing that you are in charge of what is happening with how well or how not well you are doing. So it really, you're very culpable. It's not like you have anyone to curtail to or kowtow. It's like you are very much your boss, and it is exciting. It's really, really fun.
Let's play a track now. This is one of the exclusive tracks you've provided for us, which is we're really grateful for. Recorded at Live at Eddie's Attic, of all places.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about the venue? Was there anything like tonight, for instance?
Yes, actually, a little bit like tonight. Eddie's Attic is fantastic.
It's a listening room in Decatur, Georgia. So it's right downtown, very, very near to the downtown Atlanta. And Eddie is actually the guy who put
Eddie
this place
Owen.
Together, and he's a character, and he's just created a really great place where people come to listen to music. It's not like a bar with, you know, bands that happen to be playing. It's people come for the music, and the music is quality.
So in that way, it is very similar to tonight's venue here at the Ironworks. I mean, they obviously have made music a precedence upstairs, and that is really nice as a performer.
It's a nice room, isn't it? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the song then, Just In Case.
Just In Case. I love this song. This is one of Megan's songs.
I guess it's written kind of from the point of view of a person entering a very new relationship and really wanting to keep it special and feeling very in love with the person even though it's new. And that's kind of what it's about.
Promise you did. Is it wrong? I gave my heart.
Now, you've released a series of EPs. With a seasonal flavour, they reflect the seasons, although actually I don't think that's reflected in the lyrics. What was the concept behind the EPs that you've released over the past year or so?
Well, initially, in January of, was it 2010, we had this idea. We wanted to, I think the biggest motivation was that we wanted to find a way in which we could bring, you know, our friends and our fans kind of along with us in the journey, because we knew that we were a very new band and we had to keep people's attention because we transitioned from the Lovell Sisters and then changed the name and changed the lineup, and so we wanted to give people a taste of, you know, what the new band was going to be like very, very quickly. And so we had to create a lot of material and have a backlog, you know, in a very short amount of time. And so the idea to do four EPs, like try to release as much music as we could every few months to kind of keep people up to date, it kind of was serendipitous. I think that's how a lot of things happen in our band. It's like things just happen organically and they kind of mutate and grow as it comes along. And so we released the first EP and we're like, oh, well, we should definitely have matching artwork for all of them. And so we were trying to think of, you know, some concepts for matching artwork, and so the seasons idea came about. And so from there we just went nuts. And then, I mean, it's like once you start thinking of spring, summer, fall, and winter, I mean, you have the changing of the seasons and the kind of transitional spring and fall seasons and the optimistic summer and the kind of introspective winter. I mean, it was really, really a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sort of caught your imagination.
Oh, yes.
Really. Was there ever an idea to do a single album at all? Did you ever think of that at the outset, that you could just, you know,
yes,
come out with one album, right?
Yes, but I think as a new band, you change very rapidly, and sometimes what you are at the beginning of the year may not be what you are at the end of the year. In practice, probably is quite different, and so we wanted a way to keep it fresh. And instead of working on solidly on an album for several months and then waiting a year to put it out, the EPs were a quicker way to keep the music fresh.
But we are definitely considering, for summer of 11, we're going to be releasing a single project, and so we're very excited about that. We've been writing stuff and getting all geared up for getting a new one released this year.
And how did the songwriting for these EPs come about? Did you have all the songs at the start, or did they develop organically as well, really? Because I suppose that gave you an incentive, didn't it, to write?
Oh, yes!
And keep writing.
We were writing right up to the time when we were going and recording.
It kept us very busy. It was a really big motivation, like you're saying, an incentive to get a bunch of songs written that I think otherwise we might not have written if we hadn't had those deadlines coming up. It's like, you can't mess around. You either have the songs or you don't, and you really want to have the songs because you're recording the project. So, and especially because we wanted everything to be all original. So that was, it was really, really good for us, I think, as songwriters, and continues to be.
The mini albums, they embrace a whole range of styles. But who would you say are your greatest influences? Can I ask you, perhaps, Rebecca, to say, what music have you grown up with?
Oh my gosh, do I have to say one person?
You probably have got a hero. Most people have got musical heroes, haven't they?
They do change.
And you may surprise me, because it's probably somebody I would never have thought about.
I think right now my hero definitely would be Susan Tedeschi. Have you heard of her?
Yes. Yeah.
Derek Trucks's wife. And Derek Trucks, also P.S., is one of my heroes as well. She's amazing. I mean, there are not many female vocalists that you can listen to, besides like Ella Fitzgerald or, you know, these power vocalists that are just singing like guys, like they're up there just ripping it. And I think that Susan does a fantastic job, and she's so inspirational to me.
Mm. And Megan, what about you? Is there any one person?
It's odd because I would say Derek Trucks, because I've been picking up lap steel. Mm. And that's kind of the new instrument that I started playing with Larkin Poe, and so I was searching for, you know, inspiration and people I wanted to play like, and Derek Truck was a person who I wanted to play like. So I think that I wrote a lot of the licks kind of around imagining what he might do.
Oh, that's interesting. And what about both of you? You must have been listening to all sorts of things growing up. I mean, you've been learning music. Presumably you picked up the violin, I think, at a very early age, didn't you?
We were babies.
The same with you, Megan?
Yes. We both started playing classical violin.
And piano
when we were probably five.
Just our parents put us in lessons, and it stuck. For whatever reason, all three of us.
A lot of people ask if our parents are musical, and they are not, actually. They are both in the medical field. But we were lucky because they had great taste in music. We grew up listening to the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac.
Allman Brothers.
Allman Brothers, yeah.
anyone Floyd, and everybody. Yeah.
A lot of great, great artists.
Sort of classic stuff,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Let's play another track. This is from the Summer EP. It's the live track again, recorded at Eddie's Attic. This is Praying for the Bell.
Yeah, is it the only song that we co-wrote on all the EPs?
Desert Dream as well.
This is one of two songs that we co-wrote of all four EPs. The rest of them we both wrote singly, but this is one. I really like how it turned out. I think the lyrics, it's a very odd twist on I think, a breakup song. It's a very odd twist, so it's called Praying for the Bell.
Just how long will you pretend? Now there's nothing left but to bide the end. Free me now on your own time, lover. Go play hero to another. Thing stood up, shovel came down. He dug my heart a grave in the ground. With my hand tugging on his sleeve, said I think it's right for you to leave. No, this ain't the way it's gotta be. Oh, Grim Reaper, stay away from me. Tell me, how do you think it's fair to bury us so casually? The mourners have all gone home. I guess I'll stick it out on my own. My heart's 6 feet down with my ear to the ground, praying for the bell to ring. My heart's 6 feet down with my ear to the ground, praying for the bell to ring.
Now, do you ever confuse your listeners by embracing such a wide range of styles? It seems to me that you could quite confidently go in any different direction, really, musically. It seems that maybe there's a new Fleetwood Mac waiting to break out. But I can hear all these influences, and you've confirmed that a little bit by saying that you grew up on the classic rock sound.
I guess maybe that's the problem, is we like playing so many different
kinds. So tempting!
We can't decide on one.
I mean, from bluegrass to kind of smooth jazz to some, you know, classic rocky stuff. I mean, it's so much fun to kind of keep people guessing. But I think you have to be careful, you're exactly right, not to alienate or, you know, shock anybody too much. And I think that it definitely is walking a fine line to kind of keep that surprise factor, that shock factor, but also keep a thread. And I think that's where having a really distinct songwriting voice comes into play. I think that's both what we're working very hard to cultivate when you write a song and it's like has that stamp on it. And that's, I think, one of the hardest parts of being a band, is finding what works for you and then being able to you know, reinvent that every song that you write, but yet it still have that kind of watermark sound. It's very interesting. That's also one of the fun parts, I think, is that experimentation. That it's fascinating.
Would I be right in saying then that it's unlikely that we'll see Larkin Poe playing electric guitars on stage in the near future?
Yes, yes, very much so. Megan's taking electric guitar lessons, as am I, actually.
Oh, right.
So, and I want to pick up more fiddle. Tonight I play fiddle.
So you're quite, basically, you're very open to...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And if
there
we could...
There are so many instruments I would like to take
if
up.
If we had space in our minivan, we would be bringing pianos and keyboards and everything. I mean, we're jack of all trades. Like, we like to mess around on everything. So.
Well, you're at the start of your UK tour, and it's been great talking to you. We're going to finish off with the track Principle of Silver Lining, which really went down well tonight.
Sure.
I won't ask you about this because you announced it on the actual track, so
okay.
we'll play that in. But you mentioned also tonight that you're going to Norway after
we
UK.
Are.
So have you got a following in Norway?
We have a great following in Norway. We've actually toured, what is it, five
this
or six
will be our
times?
Seventh time.
Go yeah. On. To Norway. We have a fantastic Norwegian contact. His name is Johan Moen, and he's just a huge fan of our music, and he heard about us on MySpace, oddly enough, and wanted to bring us over for a show. And so, like, 5 years ago or so, we were in Ireland playing at a festival as the Lovell Sisters. And so he said, oh, well, while you're in this part of the world, I would like for you to come to Oslo and I'd book you for a gig. And the turnout was unbelievable, and the response was just overwhelming, and so he had us back for tour after tour after tour. And so now when we go, it's like our big cities are our hometown in Oslo, Norway. It's wonderful.
And so are you spending a week or 2 weeks over in Norway?
We actually are not. We're only going to be there for a couple days, but we are planning to go back. It's so exciting, actually. This might not should be posted, but we just confirmed opening for Elvis Costello for like a bunch of gigs in the Netherlands and Norway. And so we're going to be going back for a couple months in the fall to Norway. And so we're so excited about that.
Because you've got some connection with him. I mean, has he been to one of your gigs? Or he said some nice things about you, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, we've actually collaborated with him. He's had us up to play in his band 3 or 4 times.
He's amazing. He's such a cool guy. I mean, one of the most classy performers you could ever imagine. Like, he does everything right. He really does.
Oh, that's really... Well, I hope you have a great tour. I mean, it's great now because you're jet-lagged and you've taken the trouble to talk to us, so we are grateful for that. You'll get a good night's sleep. You'll be fresh for your next gig, which is down on the south coast, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for having us.
Oh,
it's so nice to speak with you.
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
So we'll do that one more song for you now. This is one that I wrote, and I can say this because my parents are sitting right here front and center. Mom and Dad, give us a wave, please. Mom and Dad have done a fantastic job of keeping stuff around the house for us to read. And this certain thing that I read quite obsessively was National Geographic. So. We had this magazine, and in this magazine there was this article about an Aztec tribe and their religious beliefs. And I guess this tribe's religious belief is founded upon the old adage, you know, to look for the silver lining in life. And I know it sounds really trite, but when I read the article, I was really touched by that, like looking for the silver lining and always trying to be positive. And so I wrote a song about the article. Completely ripped it off as a song called The Principle of Silver Lining. Shady wood, which God hath made. upon us. And darkness is all around. There is no light. There is no light. Oh, no love among us to be found. But the darkness is of this forest. The sun obscured by shady wood. Oh, where's God at? Which God at me? Oh, so even the darkness is good. Upon us, darkness is all around. There is no light. There is no light. No love of us to be found. But the darkness is of this forest. The sun obscured by shady wood. Where's God at me? Which God at me? Upon us.